In this final chapter, the Apostle Paul issued a number of warnings to the churches in Corinth to warn them concerning their sin, and that church discipline is to follow if they will not repent. And then he closed at the end of his letter, greetings to the church. You read here in chapter 13 at the 5th verse, which is the verse which we will meditate today. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Know ye not yourselves. This is a solemn text that we cannot preach too impressively or too frequently meditate. You see, the Corinthians Christians were a critical lot of people. They were critical of the apostles in many aspects. They pride themselves to be skillful in learning, in language, and as most men do, who are wise in their own eyes or own esteem, they made a wrong use of their wisdom and learning, and they began to criticize the Apostle Paul. They criticized his style. His letters, they say, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. This we see in chapter 10, verse 10. And then furthermore, not content with that, those criticisms, they went so far as to deny or challenge his apostleship. And so Paul found himself compelled to become a fool in glorying or in boasting, but not for his own name, but for the glory of God and concerning the ministry. And for he replied, ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you, for in nothing am I behind them, behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. The apostle wrote two letters to them. In both, he is compelled to admonish them, to rebuke them for their sinful behavior and conduct and attitude, while he defends himself, and thereafter he pointed out his own heart and says, or rather pointed them back to their own heart and say in verse 5, examine yourselves. Examine whether ye be in faith. Examine whether you are walking close to the Lord or walking in the way of the Lord. Look at yourself, the way you have conducted, the attitude that you have towards me. Now prove yourself, which is to say to use the powers which you have so wrongly exercised against me to examine or to prove your own characters, whether you are truly in Christ. The criticism and attacks that were inflicted upon the Apostle Paul by the Christian in Corinth is nothing new under the sun. It is still happening in our present age and in all churches, that the servants of God are always under criticism and attack from his own members. Our subject for this final study is self-examination. Self-examination. Let each one of us, brethren, be earnest first to exhort ourselves and to examine ourselves whether we be in the faith, than to be quick to point that critical finger at others. or at the minister, or at the preacher. I shall first begin by explaining the meaning of self-examination, and then secondly, to apply or to enforce it, and thirdly, to look at the practical steps we need to take in examining ourselves. The text begins with examine ourselves, and I'm quite sure that you have no difficulty in understanding that word. To examine, firstly here in this context, is a scholastic idea. It is like a student who has been to school for a certain period of time, and now the teacher decides that it is time to put the students, him or her, through the paces, through an examination, to question him or her to see whether he or she has made any progress in their learning or what has been taught to them, whether he knows anything on what was being taught. And so likewise for a Christian, categorize your heart, question it to see whether it has been growing in grace, question it to see if it knows anything of vital godliness or not. Examine your heart. Pass your heart through a stern examination as to what it does know and what it does not know by the teaching of the Holy Spirit and the light of God's Word. Next, it is also the word examine is also a military idea. Examine yourselves or renew yourselves. Go through the rank and file, as it were, of your action, of your thoughts, of your motives, just as the officer in the army on the day of, or the review day, is surveying the soldiers. And so you do well, and you and I do well, to look to ourselves. Examine ourselves, yourselves, myself, with the most scrupulous care. Thirdly, it is also a legal idea. Examine yourselves. You know, for example, the witness that stands in the witness box, when the lawyer has been examining her or him, or as we have it in our modern terms, cross-examination or cross-examine the witness. So that is the idea here. Let us take a serious note that there never was a sinner less trustworthy or more deceitful than our own heart. Like when you are cross-examining a dishonest person who has an evil motive, and you try to find him or her out in a lie, so do that with your own heart. Put yourself in the witness box and let the Holy Spirit search you. And you search yourself. Question it back and forward, this way and that way. And if there be any loophole for escape, and if there be any pretense for self-deception, rest assured, your treacherous heart will be ready enough to avail itself of it. Or as the prophet of old said, your sin will find you out. The fourth idea, examine, is that of a traveler. In the Greek, the original, it has the meaning of go right through yourselves. Just like a traveler who wants to or desire to record or to write a book concerning his travel to a certain country, so he goes through the various places, the hills, the valleys, the landscape, so that he can write about it, the country, he can record what he observes in his travel. So it is for us, the Christian, do the same with your heart. Go right through yourselves, from the beginning to the end. Stand not only on the mountains of your public character, but go into the deep valleys of your private life, especially at home. Be not content only to examine yourselves or your outward actions, but go, follow back the narrow channels, the dark corners, till you discover your secret motive. Look not only at your performance, but dig into your heart and examine the vital principle. Examine yourselves. This is a very big word, a word that needs thinking over and over again, and I am afraid there are very few, if any of us, who ever come up to the full weight of this solemn exhortation. Examine yourselves, examine myself. The next word in our text we need to look at is prove your own selves. Prove your own selves. That means more than self-examination. We can illustrate this point in this way, like a buyer who is about to or thinking of purchasing a car. So he or she examined the car, right? The body works and all that, and he thinks that he may find out some flaws here, scratches maybe, and whatever. And of course, if you have technical knowledge of the car, then perhaps you will open up the booth and check the engines and all that. But after he has examined it, what else does he do if he is a prudent buyer? He will say to the seller, I would like to test drive it. So you see, there is more in proof than in examination. It is a deeper word, and it goes to the very root of that matter. So prove yourselves. Do not merely sit in your closet during your devotion and look at yourselves alone, but go out into the busy world and see where your heart is. Is it the world or Jesus? You see, a man's religion will stand examination that will not stand proof. I repeat, a man's religion will stand examination, but that will not stand proof. It is good enough to look at, and it has got the warranty stamp on it, but when it comes out into actual daily life, the colors soon begin to run, and the man discovers that the thing was not what he took it to be. In the scripture, we have an account of certain very foolish men that would not go to a great supper. They came out with various excuses. One said, I bought a yoke of oxen and I go to prove them. So he had at least, this person who bought the yoke of oxen and wanted to test it, at least he has worldly wisdom enough to prove his oxen. So do you prove yourselves to see whether you can be accustomed to the yoke of the gospel servitude? Put yourselves, brethren and friends, through your paces. If you are a Christian believer, try yourself, particularly in the furnace of daily life. lest perhaps the mere examination of the surface should detect you to be a cheat, to be a liar, and after all, prove to be a castaway. Examine yourselves, prove your own selves. Then the verse goes on to say, know ye not your own selves? If you do not know yourself, you have actually neglected your proper examination of your heart. What is the point of knowing everything else, of having all the knowledge of the world, if you know not yourself, if you know not your own heart? You have been busy with yourself, with many irrelevant affairs and business, while the main duty has been neglected and ruined. Know ye not your own selves? And especially, do you not know this fact, that Jesus Christ must be in your heart, formed and living there? Or else, as the text tells us, ye be reprobates. That is, you are a worthless person in the sight of God, vain pretenders, spurious professors. Your religion is but a vanity and a show. Reprobate silver shall men call you, because the Lord have rejected you, says the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah 6:30. Reprobate silver shall men call you, because the Lord have rejected you. The second point is the reason for self-examination. The reason for self-examination. Firstly, why we are to examine ourselves, because it is a matter of the very highest importance. It concerns your own soul, your never dying soul. Your soul will not die. It concerns your eternity. And so will you risk that? The Bible tells us the life is more than meat and the body than raiment. Luke 12:23. But the soul is as much more to be accounted of than the body, as the body is more important than the clothing. I can afford to lose my body, but I cannot afford to have my soul cast into hell. Can you? What a dreadful danger it is, which you and I are running into if we do not examine ourselves, if we do not examine our own heart, whether we are in the faith. It is an everlasting hazard. It is a hazard of heaven or of hell, of God's eternal favor or God's everlasting curse. That is why the apostle says, examine yourselves. Moreover, secondly, why examine yourself? Because if you make a mistake, you can never rectify it except in this world or except in this life while you have breath. A bankrupt may have lost a fortune once and yet may make another. But make spiritual bankruptcy in this life, and you will never have an opportunity to trade again for heaven. It is now or never. Remember that. Your soul's eternal state hangs on the turn of today. Loiter your time, waste or squander your God-given chance, reject the gospel, the offer of free grace. Take it very lightly, and in the next world, you shall everlastingly regret the error, but you shall have no hope of amending it. Remember. examine yourselves again. Why? Because many have been mistaken. I wrote the article the last, I think, 2 Sundays ago, The Mistaken Christians. I hope you have read it. How many in the church, and I said this before 1,000 times, how many in the church think themselves to be a Christian believer when they are not? You may be mistaken, my friends. Let us not say, I need not examine myself, I need not prove myself, for there is no one here or anywhere else who has no good cause to test and to try himself or herself today. Furthermore, another reason why you need to examine yourself, because God will examine you on that final day. Whether you believe it or not, whether you like it or not, it will be. God will examine you on that day. In the hand of God, there is the scale and the balance. You shall not be taken into heaven for what you only profess to be, but you shall be weighed. Every one of us Christian or professing Christian shall be put into the scale. What a moment will that be with you, with me, when we are in God's great scale? Surely, were it not for faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and for a certainty that we shall be clothed in His righteousness at last, we might all tremble at the thoughts of ever being there, ever standing before the judge, lest we should come out of the scale with His verdict, "Thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting." Daniel chapter 5:27. Thou art weighed in the balances and are found wanting, lacking. God will not take His gold and silver by appearance, but every vessel must be purified in the fire. We must, each one of us, pass through both ministers, pastors, members, Christians, must pass through a most searching test and scrutiny. Brethren, if our hearts condemn us, how much more shall God condemn us? If we are afraid to examine ourselves, what cause have we to tremble at the thought of the searching eyes of God? May God help us now to examine ourselves, to prove ourselves. There is one more reason for self-examination, which is, if you are in doubt now, if you are in doubt now, you still have a time to correct that. And that is the surest way. Examination is the surest way to get rid of your doubts and fears. Self-examination is the safest cure for one half the doubts and fears that vex God's people. If you are in that state, you still have time. Go and examine your hearts. When you have earnestly and sincerely searched your own heart, how blessed it will be with you, and you can say, "I know." And you will surely be able to say, "I know whom I have believed, am and persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him." 2 Timothy 1:12. Let us pray as Mr. Spurgeon often prayed. I quote, "Lord, let me know the worst of my case. if I have been living in a false comfort, Lord, rent it away. Let me know just what I am and where I am, and rather let me think too harshly of my condition before thee than think too securely, and so be ruined by presumption. Unquote. May this be a prayer of each heart and be heard in heaven. Now we come to the third lesson, the steps for self-examination. How are we to search or to examine ourselves? First, I would suggest begin with your own private or rather public life. At your school, at your place of work, or wherever you may be, out of your home, out of the church, how did you conduct yourselves? Are you honest or are you dishonest? Do you cheat your company? Do you know there are ways to cheat your company as an employee? Not, I don't mean to steal money, I mean steal time. You see, I have been working for 24 years, I know. Instead of having your 1 hour lunch, 1.5 hours. Instead of having your 15 minutes tea break, you go for half an hour. You steal the time from your company, from your employer. And there are those, I can tell you, I don't know whether you are aware, there are those who steal or take stationeries from the office and bring back home for their children, for themselves. And, just for your further information, I have this experience before because I deal with, I work in maintenance of an office building before. And I was told by my staff, toilet rolls that we put in the toilet, less than 5 minutes is gone, whole roll. Amazing, isn't it? Wonderful. It's amazing they even do that. Well, I think I might be wrong. I think both the men and the ladies are guilty. You just take and bring to their desk or their office. So do you steal? Do you swear? Are you given to uncleanness? Do you blaspheme? Do you take God's name in vain and violation of the Lord's day? Make short work with yourself and there will be no need to go into any further tests. The scripture tells us you are a reprobate. The wrath of God abides on you and you have no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Ephesians 5:5. Your state, my friend, is fearful. You are accursed now, and except you repent, you must be accursed forever. Next, as Christian, despite your many sins, can you say, by the grace of God, I am what I am, but I seek to live a righteous, godly, and sober life in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation? Can you say that from your heart, in humility? Those who were mere professors of the faith, by your works shall be judged at last. Yes, your works cannot save you. It is true, it is biblical, but they can prove that you are saved. Or if your work be evil, they can prove that you are not saved at all. Let every one of us examine ourselves and go to our private closet and fall upon our face and cry again, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And let us seek for more grace, that henceforth our lives as Christian believers may be more consistent, though not perfect, and more in accordance with the Spirit of Christ. In addition, as you know, beside your private or public life, your private life, as I said, especially at home. How about your private life? What or how do you relate to your family members at home? What about your devotional life? Do you live without prayer, without searching the scripture, without studying it, reading it? Do you live without thoughts of God and having no love to Him and no fear and no concern for Him and no regard of Him or for Him? In your private life, if so, again, you make short work of the matter. You are in the gall of bitterness and in the bonds of iniquity. But if you are right at heart, you will be able to say, with God's help, I could not live without prayer. I have to weep over my prayers. I do love God's word. It is my meditation all the day. I delight in the word of the Lord, as the psalmist says. I love His people. I love His house. I love the Lord's day. And when my heart is busy with this world's affair, it is often going up to His throne of grace. Can you say that? A good sign. If you are able to say that and you are doing that, it is a good sign. A good sign for you, Christian. If you go through this test, this searching, you may have hope that all is well. But go a little bit deeper, further. Have you ever wept over your lost condition? Have you ever bemoaned your lost estate before God, that you are a sinner, that you cannot save yourself? Have you been driven to rely simply, wholly and entirely on Christ? If so, then you have passed the test well enough, and now you have faith in Christ, a faith that makes you love Christ, a faith that makes you love the Lord Jesus, a faith that enables you to trust in Him in the darkest hours of your life. And lastly, can you say that Jesus Christ is in your heart? If not, you are reprobate. Yes, we do not deny the fact that the apostle used a very sharp word here, reprobate. Sharp word. But if Jesus be in your heart, though your heart sometimes be so far away from Him that you can scarcely tell He is there, yet you are accepted in the beloved, and you may rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of grace. So, brethren and friends, may each one of us, Christian believers, regularly, from time to time, spend some time. Examine your heart, and not just examine, prove your own self. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for this sober lesson. Yes, Lord, while we still have breath and life, while You still accord us this opportunity, we pray that, Lord, You will help us to take heed. We pray, O Lord, that Your Spirit will help us, that we may examine ourselves and prove ourselves whether we be in the faith, lest we be reprobates. O gracious, loving Heavenly Father, may Your Holy Spirit constantly remind us to search ourselves, to search our own hearts in the light of Scripture, to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, and to make our election sure. And so help us, O Lord, we pray in this new week, that we may walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called, and that Thou wilt grant us much grace, wisdom, and help of Your Holy Spirit, that we may live our lives that glorify Thy holy name, and to enjoy Thee. Hear this our prayer. Amen.